Welcome back again on Virtual Africa, Creative Disturbance. This is Ivantina, still online with Pierre-Christophe Gam. Welcome back, Pierre-Christophe. So, as you said in the previous episode, you have both origins in Cameroon, in Chad, and in Egypt. So, where did you grow up? Where did you spend the most part of your life? In Africa or in Europe?
I spent my first years in Algeria. Uh-huh. My dad was a diplomat, so I spent my first few years over there. And then I moved to France. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in France until my first year of, until university. I did a half part of university in France, and then I finished in London. So I went to a school in Paris called the École Nationale Supérieure des Arts Décoratifs, which is short for l'ENSAD. And then I went to another school in London called Centre Saint-Martin. So growing up, I spent most time in France.
Yes.
But I was very lucky because I got to go pretty much every summer in Africa with my parents. So we got to go to Cameroon, to Chad, to Congo, to Gabon, to mostly Western. Mm-hmm. West Africa, West African countries, I grew up in France.
Okay, no, because while reading your kind of biography, I saw that you have a pretty extensive background in fashion and design. Yeah. And how did you end up, working with Pascal Herbert, can you remember her name again? Yeah, Pascal Revert. And how did you end up creating this Afropolis platform?
So I worked, as you were saying, for many years in the fashion industry, luxury sector.
Basically, my question is, what make you move from the fashion industry to the more, contemporary art scene.
So the thing is that when I was in that environment, I was always interested by art and culture in general. Mm-hmm. And namely because before really setting my path towards design, I was interested by sociology for a few years when I was in high school. And I was interested by that field. And so I've always been interested by cultural dynamics, habits, way of being, and so on. And and I felt that obviously fashion is a limited way to explore that. And being Africans, I felt that there was a lot of things that could be explored and talked about, about the African cultural experience. I was very privileged, as I was saying earlier, in my upbringing because I got to see a lot of them growing up and I got to travel extensively throughout the continent. But I was at the same time aware that the way that Africa was being talked about in the media was miles away from the truth from what my experience of the continent was. And so that's how Afropolis came about. And for me, Afropolis was very much talking about Africans on the continent, but as well talking about the diaspora. And the diaspora includes to me Africans, let's say, like me or you, who've been brought up to a part abroad. But as extended Africans, such as Americans, African-Americans, Afro-Cubans, Afro-Brazilians, people from the West Indies and so on. And the idea of Afropolis is to kind of explore the cultural DNA which exists and permeates throughout each of these different platforms. Because I believe that, there's something intrinsically Africans through the African-American cultural expression, the same way that what you have in Brazil, what you have in Jamaica, and so on. For me, it's really a way to celebrate that, to share that with others, and to try to offer means and ways to understand that through culture.
I really like the description. I mean, tell us more about the African Renaissance exhibition. I really like the kind of synopsis of this. You said that actually it comes from the Afokbolos, I will need a translation of this word, please, later. And you say that it's a fictitious couple from Nigeria and Angola, emblematic of this new generation of global citizens, locally rooted in their tradition and culture, but with, at the same time, a distinctive global outlook. So
the Afogbolo is actually, so I create, so with Afropolis, I create exhibitions, you know, sometimes event festivals. And one of the exhibitions, the recent one, is called the African Renaissance. And the African Renaissance is an immersive art installation where I invite the spectators to enter the house of a fictitious couple. And the name of this couple is the Afogbolos. And for me, this couple, can I say, encapsulate, you know, is the, you know, representation of what we can call the new global African experience, you know, this new generation of Africans that are fundamentally rooted locally, but with a global outlook, you know. I mean, some people call that, you know, Afropolitan. I guess this could be a way to describe it. But me, I really want, for this exhibition, I really want to, you know, the same that when you go into someone's house and you get to see how they live. And I guess in that case, this was translated to a large part for art and design, because we had a selection of furniture design from major designers from the continent, and as well photography, art, ceramic, so mix of objects and artifacts. And by walking into that space, you get a feel of this African aesthetic, which is visible, but I believe which has never been, at least not so much, not as much, you know, gathered in one continuous and holistic environment, you know. And here, for that space, is a way to really talk about this new African aesthetic. I don't know if it's new, but I guess what is new is the fact that this is a generation that fully embrace its cultural heritage.
Yeah.
You know, that is fully comfortable, and, you know, with this heritage, that embrace it, and that advertise it, and that shares it with the world, you know, in the way that previous generation, I mean, recent previous generation, were not doing. And I guess this is the difference.
Okay, so let me just ask you a sensitive question here, because, you know, Creative Disturbance and Leonardo and Virtual Africa, we're trying to put some light on initiatives or creation at the crossroad of art, science and technology. What I find very interesting in your exhibition is that we are, you know, at the crossroad of art, design, craft, fashion and stuff, but actually, while talking about this new generation, why there's no a special emphasis on the use of new media and new technologies too? Why haven't you integrated this dimension of new communication, new networks, and, you know, telematic presence? And, you know, we're using Skype now. I'm sure that you use Skype to talk with your family in Cameroon too. You send money wirelessly, and so on. So I was a little bit, embarrassed, not by this kind of, not lack, put that between quotes, but of technology. It was a choice, or how would you define or, you know, tackle this question of technology in African art?
I think that in regards to the exhibition specifically, I was more looking at a collector's perspective. So basically, this is the house of a collectors, of young African collectors. So, you know, their own objects, artifacts, you know, paintings, ceramic, you know, that sort of things. And so I was not so much, in a way, through these objects, you get to have a sense of how they live. But I was not so much going on into, you know, the daily ritual that they may go through. You know, obviously they use internet, they have mobile phone, they're on Facebook, they use, you know, the social networks, you know, they speak with friends that are sometimes on the continent, abroad. I mean, my story in the specific case of the exhibition, they live in Lagos, I guess friends, school friends, family relatives that are living abroad, so they use, you know, all of these modern tools. They share this, they spend money with one another's. You know, they use apps, they use all of these kind of things. But you know, I guess these are things that are, you know, that are assumed. But I could not, you know, put the spectrum of that exhibition. Like, it was, that would have been very difficult to touch upon that. And at the same time, for me, the idea with the African Renaissance is that that's an ongoing exhibition. So we presented the exhibition in London. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving in December in Cameroon, in Douala.
Okay.
At the Gallery MAM.
Okay.
And in the version that we're going to introduce in that space, that's going to allow us to extend further in the experience. So now we're going to see objects, you know, artifacts, but as well, we're going to be able to see into more of the, there's going to be more installations that will allow visitors to go more into the emotional, you know, aspects of the daily lives. But when it comes to that specific aspect, you know, you're talking about the, you know, in terms of use of new technologies and how it affects, you know, daily African lives. That's something that I touched upon in another exhibition, which is, I think, something we'll discuss later, but the Making Africa exhibition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which has been, we can talk about it now. There's no problem. So, actually, I was asking that question because this will be a soft transition, I guess, to Making Africa, but in Afro-Renaissance, there's Cyrus Kabiru,
yes,
who is well known today for being part of this movement called Afrofuturism, and I think part of the discourse around this movement is about the reappropriation also of African mythology, story, and such, mm-hmm. but also by integrating the language of technologies. So everything is linked here, but yeah, you can talk about Making Africa. Maybe there's a kind of continuum mm-hmm. toward that.
So in regards to Cyrus, he's one of the artists in the exhibition, and I guess a lot of the artists that we had in the shows mm-hmm. Were artists which were touched upon this idea of, you know, the reappropriation of African mythologies, as you just said.
Yeah.
You know, Cyrus Kabiru, we had as well Nam Saluba, Cheikh Diallo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, regards, actually, I mean, in regards to new technologies, I mean, you look at some of the pieces that were presented by Cheikh Diallo within the exhibition are made using new technologies. So it's a mix of craftsmanship and new technologies. You know, my work, for example, the series of portraits of the Afogbolos are illustrated photographies. So they are photos with drawings with digital work. The same thing for some of the work of Cyrus Kabiru. You know, so it's there. But you know, this was, we couldn't really go into. I mean, it's there by the work by themselves, you know. But we couldn't just go into the more daily lives activities. The Making Africa exhibition was an exhibition that opened in March of this year.
Yes,
it was initiated by the Vitra Design Museum and the Guggenheim Bilbao Museum in Spain. And the thesis of the exhibition is to. And the position of the exhibition is basically to say that Africa is going to be the leading space for innovation in design when it comes to innovation aesthetics. And it's a new way of thinking and of engaging with design. And this exhibition touched upon, so I was an advisor in that exhibition. It was curated by Amélie Klein from the Vitra Museum.
Yes.
And OQN Weser.
Mm-hmm.
And the exhibition touched upon, you know, you had the photo, you had the, was mixing art and design, but as well you have a video work, you had people using YouTube as a media platform and creating content on it.
Mm-hmm.
Touched upon M-Pesa, touched upon mobile communication apps, 3D printing, laser cut, you know, all of the modern you know, technological tools that exist out there and how they are being used and appropriated in Africa as we speak. So
I know that this might be out of, you know, out of your scope, or you may not be in the good position, the right position to answer this kind of question, but politically you know, the title of exhibition is Making Africa. But it's happening in Europe. I mean, it's actually funded by two big European museums. What is your observation or thought on this? Why we're not able to organize this this type of event in Africa, which has something to do, of course, with the future of African
Understand.
artists and, people.
I mean here what the exhibition is talking about is the fact that the future of African design will define the future of design throughout the world. So it's a global conversation and taking Africa as a point of reference and as the leading, voice for innovations, we're thinking and so on. And it's done by the Vitra Museum, which is a leading institution when it comes to design globally, and to Google, which everybody knows. To me, I mean, the aim of the exhibition is that this is going to be a traveling exhibition. So, Spain in Germany, now is going to Bilbao in Spain, Guggenheim. Then they're looking at having the exhibition move in the US. They're in discussion with different space, among which the new Cooper Gallery in Harvard. And at some point, it's going to go in Africa. So, they already have a space in South Africa. Be looking as well to bring it in West Africa after. So the exhibition is going to be traveling for about 5 years. So that definitely will be in Africa. And the things that the exhibition was done with African curators, consultant, or it's not West looking at Africa, it's Africans talking about,
So if I understand well, the major problem is just in terms of infrastructure and maybe fundings.
I don't believe maybe that's a good way to look at it in the sense of, if something is done about Japan, and then saying, why Japan hasn't done it, there are great exhibitions which are done on the continent which are maybe not as visible, maybe not talked about because they are done in a way and they're not using the same kind of channel that we use to get information from. Now, in that instance, it's done by the Vitra, it's done with an institution like the Guggenheim and the Museum. So I guess it's more visible. But I know a series of exhibitions that were looking at design and art that were done on the continent. Maybe not with that scale. And there must have been some that I missed, obviously.
No, I didn't mind that, the people behind that, either in Europe or the US, wherever, have
No,
bad intention
I'm
or
sure
they're
there are some which are being done, and I think it's more. I think as well, what is interesting is that in the sense that the Vitra is a private institution, so it's not, it's not a government. It's a piece of, it's a Vitra company, and it's a private museum. I think in that sense, it's more questions of, Africans creating, that kind of conversation for themselves. But I see what is maybe if you define more the question, I'll see what you mean.
No worry. I think that could be a good conclusion. I don't know if you have something else to say. Do you have a future exhibition coming soon or another project that you have in mind that you would like to share with us?
As I was mentioning earlier, the next project will be the exhibition in Cameroon. Second part of the African Renaissance. And then I'm working on a show, which is going to be a multimedia installation that will be presented in Senegal, in Dakar, during the Dakar Biennale in May 2016.
May 2016. We'll be very happy to keep in touch with you and maybe to make other podcasts with other artists in Dakar during the festival if you'd like to.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so I guess that you're preparing some food, so bon appétit.
Good here.
Okay, talk to you later. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ivan.